Hello and welcome to the Rush Hour. It's Wednesday, the 20th of July. Well, as I briefly alluded to at the end of yesterday's Rush Hour, it has indeed been confirmed that Denver Archbishop Charles Chaput has been appointed as the new Archbishop of Philadelphia. He will replace the embattled Cardinal Justin Regali, who announced in March that he was suspending 21 priests over allegations of misconduct he had originally judged not credible. It was the largest ever suspension of accused priests. Archbishop Chaput told EWTN in an exclusive interview that his archdiocese could emerge stronger from recent troubles by embracing the chance to live the gospel without compromise. He said, "The church in Philadelphia is at an important point in her life. It's not a time to be embarrassed about what we believe. In fact, it becomes even more crucial to preach the gospel both within the church and outside the church. The biggest challenge, not just in Philadelphia, but everywhere, is to preach the gospel in a way that captures the imagination of God's people. We need to have confidence in the gospel. We have to live it faithfully and to live it without compromise and with great joy. We have to deal with scandal in an honest, thorough, confident way. We can do that even when it's very painful because we know that Christ rose from the dead." He noted that the message of the resurrection is not a set of powdered words, but a statement of fact that should inform the church's response to any challenge. The Archbishop also wants Philadelphia's nickname, the City of Brotherly Love, to be an inspiration for his ministry and not just a good tourist slogan, because Jesus, when he chooses men to be priests, according to Archbishop Chaput, chooses them with a brother's love. Archbishop Chaput, whose 2008 book Render Unto Caesar addressed the role of faith in public life, says it means a good deal to be chosen by the Pope to lead the church in the city where the Declaration of Independence was signed. In recent years, Archbishop Chaput has increased his efforts to help Catholics rediscover a sense of their own identity amid the confusions of modern culture. He sees Catholic politicians' compromises on issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage as an outgrowth of a deeper secularization affecting the whole church. Chaput's father was a French-Canadian who descends from King St. Louis IX, and his mother is a Native American hailing from the Potawatomi tribe. Most notably, Archbishop Chaput is a friar of the Capuchins. Pope John Paul II chose him to be the Bishop of Rapid City, South Dakota in 1988, before appointing him Archbishop of Denver in 1997. The formal transition to Philadelphia is expected to take place on the 8th of September. The Pontifical Council Cor Unum is warning that hundreds of thousands of people in the Horn of Africa are at risk of dying due to a lack of basic necessities. In a communique today, the Council, which oversees the Church's charity work, noted Benedict XVI's appeal on Sunday for international solidarity in response to the drought that has caused the emergency, complicated in some areas by violent conflict. Echoing UNICEF, Cor Unum called the situation a critical humanitarian emergency. "Around 10 million people are suffering," it said, "and hundreds of thousands of refugees risk dying because of a lack of basic necessities. Somalia and northern Kenya are the worst struck areas." The UN was reportedly set to declare Wednesday that parts of the region, particularly South Somalia, are in famine. The drought is the worst the area has seen for 60 years. The last official famine was in 1984 to 85, when about 1 million people in Ethiopia and Sudan died. South Somalia is controlled by Islamic fundamentalists who last week had banned aid agencies from the area. World Youth Day preparations are on track, but there are still a few small problems to be solved, the executive director of World Youth Day has told the Catholic News Service. Diego de la Sierra told CNS that some of the problems include 7 tons of rosaries that need to be bailed out of customs. Spanish customs still need to be convinced that the rosaries are gifts and will not be sold and therefore need to be taxed. Another company has offered to donate 110 tons of bananas, but if organisers accept the fruit, they need to find a way to dispose of all those banana peels. More importantly, he said the organisation is trying to select and get security clearance for the 50 young people who personally will welcome the Pope to Madrid on the 18th of August, and organisers also are deciding which five young people will have the honour of asking Pope Benedict XVI a question during the vigil on the 20th of August. With just a month left to plan 6 days of activities for the more than 420,000 young people who already have registered for World Youth Day, and for the 1.2 million people expected at the Pope's final Mass, organisers estimate the events will cost more than $70 million. However, they said they expect to cover it all with registration fees and donations, especially of supplies. The donated materials include the bananas and other food for the participants, but also big ticket items like private security officers and the materials and labour for the stages and altar platforms for papal events. The Madrid headquarters is staffed with 250 people, working 25 hours a day, De La Sierra said. About 200 of the staff members are volunteers from around the world. Many are housed, fed, and transported by World Youth Day, but none of them are paid. Some other interesting facts include the number of volunteers assisting at World Youth Day during the event itself has risen from 23,000 to 30,000. 643 public buildings will be converted into dormitories, and 4 or 5 million communion hosts will be needed. Mexico's National Pro-Life Committee has filed a complaint with the National Human Rights Commission regarding the mass murder of unborn children currently taking place in the nation's federal district. Currently, abortion is legal and financed during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy in Mexico City. The text of the complaint, which was filed on the 13th of June and subsequently obtained by LifeSite News, denounces the systematic violation of the right to life of recently conceived persons with less than 12 weeks of life, committed by the government of Mexico City. From the 24th of April 2007 to the 24th of June 2011, the government of the federal district has murdered 61,915 people in the wombs of their mothers, the complaint states. The National Pro-Life Committee bases its complaint on the right to life, which it says is protected in Mexico by various legally binding documents. Among them, it lists Article 29 of the Constitution of the United Mexican States, Article 3 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 1 of the American Declaration of the Rights and Obligations of Man, and Article 4 of the American Convention on Human Rights, all of which expressly defend the right to life. The government of Mexico City legalized the procedure in 2007. And just briefly, ethics classes in New South Wales are struggling to find volunteer teachers, according to the Archdiocese of Sydney. And in Bangladesh, religious organizations are stepping up efforts to curb underage and premarital sex in the capital, Dhaka. Thanks for listening to the show. My number is +612 800 515 30, and my email is therushhour@cradio.org.au. Have a great day. God bless.